This call is being recorded.
Thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. I realize that we need you. As much as we'd like to think so, in our ignorance, it's all about you. And as you see fit, Lord, you have the ability to strengthen us. You have the ability to bless us. You have the ability to cause us to prosper in whatever way you see prospering for us to be. I thank you that you have given us the revelation of your word. And I mean that in the sense that we don't have to guess, that we know exactly by reading what you have set for us to know as people. Often we confuse what we think, what we have heard others say, with your word. And that's not your fault. I ask you by your might and by your power that you would cause us to hear. Cause us to be the kind of people that will know, listen, and be blessed by your strength. Father, in the midst of our turmoil and in the midst of the things that we go through, disappointments and heartaches, help us to remember this is truly your world. And it's all about whatever it takes to bring glory and honor to you. I ask you that you would give us a high view of you, not a low view. I ask these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Tonight we're taking a small break from the book of the Revelation. And yet, even in the Revelation, we see that there is something that those individuals learned in that first century, as well as something that we had better learn if we're going to walk with you. And that very thing is this. It's actually the title of our message for tonight. Listen to what the Bible says about these individuals. They were so great. The Bible said about these people, they loved not their lives unto the death. Could that be said about us? Could it be said about us, no matter what happened, no matter how it happened, that we would be the kind of people that we would prefer God and pleasing God so much so that God's testimony of us, God's revelation, just like the revelation that he gave to his son, and that he gave his son to give to the angel that gave to John. In Revelation 12, verse 11 said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Our message tonight, it comes directly from the Bible, but there's something that precipitated this message. Yesterday was March the 15th, 2017. 2 years ago, about 8:30 p.m., I was at a store less than 2 miles from our home, and my wife called me and said, "Come home now. It's about D." And those of you all that are familiar with us know that this is the day that we found out that our son had been in a terrible accident and was killed. And many of you all were there for us and have continually been there for us. You all know on December the 22nd, 2016, our father died. When I say our father, you all know what I mean, because you know the nature and construct of my family. But we also have to consider, we've had people that have had cancer. Yes, we've had people in our assembly that have had cancer. We've had many operations that have taken place. People have had problems with their eyes in our assembly. Different problems with joints. Sometimes problems with not only eyes and back, surgeries to replace parts inside of bodies. Parts in people's body have been shortened so that they could be able to function properly. Some of us have been in accidents and have not been restored to full health. Many have been on jobs where people mistreat, lie, and will do things to get us fired. Some of us have experienced injustices from the civil government, whether it be state, local, county, or federal. We've experienced that. Then on top of that, there are the other cares in the home that often we can have from varying members being married into the family, coming into the family either by making children, even if they're not married, or coming into our family, being a part of our life, and they have issues. And often we pray and we ask God for immediate relief. And it seems as if sometimes he will. And many times it seems like he's not there. Many times it seems like he doesn't care. And what we do is we resign ourselves to many times, well, if this just the way it is, it's just the way that it is. But the Bible is the revelation of God. And I will submit to you that the full thrust of the Word of God will allow us to understand something about God and something about this life that we as the people of God need to understand. And my title for tonight for this cause is "To God Be the Glory." Greek word glory. It's the English word glory is the Greek word doxa. It speaks of giving praise, approbation, adoration. It's often used to bless something, to speak highly of, favorably about. So you'll see sometimes the scripture will tell you to give God praise or to give glory to God. Or that they spoke of God in such a way that it gave majesty and honor to his name. Our title for tonight is "To God Be the Glory." In looking at the different ones that have spoken with me through print, whether it was text or Facebook, I got to thinking, many of the people that shared with me, and some that have not, have experienced loss. When I think of loss, naturally I think of D, our son, I think of my dad, I think of Marilyn, I think of Brother Charles. I think of different ones that have passed. In the case of my mom, her dad. But let's take it to other people that have had losses. Some people have lost limbs. Some people have lost eyesight. Some have lost jobs, reputations, friends that once loved them, but because of learning and giving glory to God, friendships leave. Losing a friendship, a true friendship, is losing something. Some have lost mates. But the Bible teaches, to God be the glory. Now, understand when I say that, I take that title from a song that is sung by a man named Andre Crouch. You can find the song on the web, but I want to be biblical. Let's listen to what the Bible says about to God be the glory. First of all, we are going to use many scriptures, but I hope to do it in such a way that it doesn't bog you down with trying to write down the references, but that you can listen to what the Bible teaches. First of all, Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it lays out a plan for mankind through the vantage point of God. Listen to what the plan of God is from his vantage point. Romans 11 and 36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Just from the very thrust of this, an individual would have to say that since Paul is giving us what God has to say, what he has learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, that it doesn't say for of Tim, for of Jane, through of Rufus, through of anybody else. It says for of him, and the context is talking about God. And through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I want us to understand that it's about the glory of God, is not about the glory of man. A low view of God would mean that God has to do everything the way that we want it, when we want it, and how we want it, and he'd have no say-so in the matter. A low view of God would put God on the level of being a little genie that you can rub a bottle, and the genie pops out and do whatever you say. A low view of God would put God in the midst of being what an individual would have, just a bucket wish list, that you just give me anything that I want, irrespective of my ignorance, irrespective of what I don't know about anything. That's about everything that I need to know in order to make a decision. Case in point. Every one of you, just go down this little illustrative mind game with me just a moment. If God gave you the power today to heal everybody that you know of, that you've heard of, or go to the hospital and heal everyone that is sick of diabetes, cancer, lung disease, go to every funeral home and bring back to life everybody that's in there, go to the graveyard and empty the graveyards of everybody that's there, and he gave you that power for the next year, you could bring your loved ones back, you could heal anybody that's sick, the blind could see, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear. And yet the one thing that he says, everybody that you heal, that I know that was going to turn back to me after so long a period of time. If they don't turn back to me, you'll be judged. Everybody that you bring back from the dead that will not honor me, and every wicked deed that they do, I'm putting it on your head. Everyone that you cause the problems in their life, the job that they lost, everyone that you give them the job back and extra money, everyone, I'm going to judge you accordingly, because you prayed for that ability and you wanted to use and usurp my authority and my glory. Now do it, but you better do it right. How many other than me would say, no, thank you, Lord? Sometimes we don't know enough about everything to make the decisions, even about some things that we would like to have. When we look in the Bible, we see something magnificent in Psalms 19 and 1. When you think about the stars, the moon, the galaxy, the planet, the darkness that we see surrounding stars, that is behind stars, and things that we don't even understand that we see in the heavens, and sometimes even the clouds and the sunshine and the colors that come through the sky and lightning that flashes through the sky, about that, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, if the heavens declare the glory of God, Paul must be right when he says, of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. If the heavens are declaring the glory of God, just like the Bible says, and I say if, but I definitely mean that it is. And it says, and the firmament shows his handiwork, and day unto day utters out speech, and night unto night shows knowledge, and there is no speech or no language where their voice is not heard, and their lines has gone out through all the earth, and their words are to the end of the world, and in them has he placed a tabernacle for the sun. Understand this, that the glory of God is not shut down by man. He is always bringing glory to himself, even through the heavens. And I would submit to you that we need a singing. Don't change the stars move, the stars placement. We don't change the weather. Now something is still dependent upon God, and they're still working with what he has. But listen to what else it says. It's very important that we hear it. Verse 5, and their line is going out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world, and them have he set a tabernacle for the sun, is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man for a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat of it thereof. Verse 7, change comes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It never, heavens convert your soul. It never says the firmament converts your soul. It never says day unto day give speech and knowledge converts the soul. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is complete. It is God's revelation to give you sufficiently and effectively what you need to know about him to convert your soul, to understand that all glory goes to and from and to him. It doesn't go to an image. It doesn't go to man. It doesn't go to our feeling. We can serve him day and night, night and day, but all of the glory goes to him. That's a high view of God. It says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That is the revealed word of God. You got the natural revelation of God in the heavens and in the stars, and everything that you see according to Romans 1, the visible things from the creation of the world, it shows forth the invisible things of him, even his eternal power with Godhood, but it doesn't teach us how to be converted. It doesn't teach us how to be saved. It doesn't teach us what his statutes are. It doesn't teach us what God says about marriage. It doesn't teach us what God says about life. It doesn't teach us what God says about death. It doesn't teach us what God says about sickness. It doesn't tell us what God says about suffering. It doesn't tell us why we are in the world that we're in with the problem of evil and sin thereof. The law of the Lord does that, and it's for the glory of God that he revealed it to us. Anyone that ignores it ignores God and ignores the glory that he set forth. Listen to these two scriptures here. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. When we don't get well when we want to, and someone else over there said, if you just have faith, you're going to be healed. You're going to get your job back. Your parent is not going to die, although they already flatlined. And they tell you that if you have faith, this is going to happen. And in other words, you believe them and God hadn't really shown you that. Or if you believe it and they die and you get upset with God. But the scripture teaches us all things are to the glory of God. Do you really think that death thwarts the glory of God? Sickness thwarts the glory of God? Then you're not listening to the glory of God as revealed in his word. Find errors in God. Listen to me. David says here, cleanse thou me of secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. You're going to go and presume that because you had a faith, and you're going to assume that because he told the apostle that was following him that we're going to establish his church, that everything he told them goes for you. You're going to be one of those kind of people that tell me often that Jesus said, I'm going to do greater works than he did, which is a damnable lie. First of all, he wasn't talking to you. You weren't living then. He was talking to a group of people in particular, those disciples that he sent out to be apostle. That's part of what the word apostle means, to go from. And he was saying greater works, and the greater works would be, according to John 10 and 16, that other sheep he had, which were not of this fold, he would bring them. There would be one shepherd in one flock. I submit to you that he's not saying you're going to do a greater work than he did, which first work started when he came from eternity and took on flesh and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. You're going to be greater than that? You're going to be greater than the one that had glory with God before he came to the earth? You are going to be able to die for my sins and raise me from the dead and justify me before God and give me a white stone, a new name, and make me rule. If you can't do that, but you claiming to be able to do everything else greater than he did, that's presumptuous. That's a low view of God. Servant of God said, keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. Let me stay in my lane. I think I heard Dree say that the other day. I like the way that sounds. Many times as I've been hit by cars, let me stay in my lane, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. But our message is, to God be the glory. The heavens declare it. Paul said that that's what everything is about. But when you look in the Bible, it seems in some ways that the glory of God can also be manifest in man, but all glory goes to God. And so we'll hear people say things like this. They'll say Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, if you were to thresh that out, you could really say, yes, that means I have an excuse to be presumptuous in my sin. I have an excuse whenever something happens that I don't like. I have an excuse that if I get mad with God over certain things, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. But is that what it's saying? His argument was there dealing with Jews and Greeks. You read the second chapter, you'll see it. The whole world is condemned for unrighteousness and ungodliness in the first chapter of Romans. Second chapter, he tells the Jews, he says to the Jews, he's telling them they're inexcusable. They know the judgments of God and do the same. They're guilty. He shows them around the 14th verse that the Gentiles know better and they do better and condemn you. And in the third chapter, he shows that the Jews had advantages, but when they do wrong, they're just as wrong as the Gentiles. And he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if everything is to bring glory to God, and that's the situation that is, I would suggest to you that when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he's speaking of those that have not realized that all glory goes to God. And that should be something that comes voluntarily from us. Because if it doesn't come voluntarily from us, when God judged the wicked, the ungodly, it brings glory to his name. But his preference is that we would bring glory to him by having a high view of him. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus is praying and he's talking to the Father. Actually, 21, I think 20 will give me just a little more context. Verse 20, Jesus says, "And neither pray I for these alone, but for all them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou art, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So when Paul says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's an argument dealing with the context of which he is arguing. But the glory that he is talking about, Jesus is talking about here, is a glory that's not inherent in man. It's a glory that's reflected in man, given by God to us to reflect his glory, inasmuch as the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament declare the glory of God. But if you want to be short in their mind and don't want to learn what God is saying, they can always have a cloak for their ungodliness and not give God the glory to his name. But I will submit to you, the Bible says all glory. All glory belongs to God. Now, I want to give you one more. That same writer, Paul, because there's a thing that sometimes people say, well, Jesus said that and Paul didn't know it. So let's get rid of that so that we can understand that what I'm telling you is true. The same man that says, "For of him, through him, and to him are all things to the glory of God," is the same one that wrote the book of Colossians. And he said in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, when he is talking about what God has done for mankind, it says, "Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." All glory belongs to God. when Christ is in you, you can reflect his glory. You can bring and give the glory to him. Therefore, as an individual that learns to understand it's all about God, all things are for, through, and to him, then that individual can begin to get his mind in line with what has been given by the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. No matter what their circumstances are in life, no matter what disappointments come in their life, no matter what people tell you and the expectation that they give you that is not revealed in his word, you will be able to be like what Paul told these people when they were criticizing him over liberties that he had. He told the people one thing, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, for us to have the written revelation of God and to have it so readily available, and when we have a situation, when we get sick, someone in our family dies, one of us get a disease, something happens to somebody that's tragic, even a young child, for us to forget that everything is about God, we must have the attitude that when somebody dies, it's over for God. We must forget that the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 20, to God all men live. We must have forgotten that the pattern of the revealed word of God even shows us way back in the days before there was ever what we call the New Testament. Job had lost his family. Job had lost his children, 14, lost his servants, lost his cattle, lost his reputation. And what did Job say? Do you all remember? 2 years ago, I started out with this one verse. The Bible, after he showed all those things, Job 1:21, it says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave glory, and the Lord taketh away glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until we have a high view of God, we will never be able to say when God does with what he is. You're going to be upset. What do you mean, Tim? If God takes your arm today, you're not going to be upset. I'm going to suffer loss. I'm going to feel bad. But if God can't get the glory then, and I just preached, I just declared, there's a thing of being presumptuous. We're looking at the world from a small vantage point. And we're supposed to be dealing with the God that sees all, knows all, understands all. And if we can't have the faith of this man, what kind of faith do we have? It's a very low view of God. Let's go around to John chapter 9. I want you to see a pattern in the scripture. I want you to see a pattern in the scripture so that we can begin to understand something. In John chapter 9, you should be familiar with this. We're going to talk about a man that was born blind. He went through all his life being blind like this. He's blind until a certain day. John 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I will suggest to you, and I will prove to you. Now, proof and persuasion are two different things, okay? I'm going to prove it to you, whether you're persuaded or not, that's another issue. That means that the works of God should be manifest in him. It means that God's glory will be manifest in him. That the works of God, that all of his glory will come to God. So the man was born blind. They thought that it had something to do with sin. It had nothing to do with sin, but Jesus said that the works of God should be manifested in him. Is God wrong for allowing a man to be born blind that his works can be manifested in him at a certain time? Do you think God changes? Do you think that man was excited about being blind all his life as well as his parents? Well, after Jesus healed him, and the people got upset because here is this newcomer healing people. Nobody's giving him any permission. He don't have letters. He ain't one of us. We feel he's got a devil. Verse 24, John 9. Then called they again. These are the Pharisees. Then again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God praise. Give God praise. That's the same word, doxa, which is translated many times glory. Give God the glory. Let's say to God be the glory. We know this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether this man is a sinner or not, he said, will he be a sinner? No, I know not this one. I think I do know, whereas I was born blind and now I see. And they had this great big discussion and the man chasing them. Let's move to verse 35 so that we can see God getting the glory. Verse 35. When Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when they found him, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said, are we blind also? And he said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. What did we just read here? What we just read here is the man in the beginning let them know how God had operated. The blind wasn't seeing. This man did it. I don't know how he did it. But when he talked to Jesus, he worshiped. He worshiped. He gave God the honor and the glory of being worshiped. He gave God the honor of worshiping the one that he had sent. The man said, Lord, he said that I might believe on him. And Jesus said, it's me. You've seen him. It's he that's talking. And the man said, I believe and worshiped him. And God opened his eyes and let him know, this is why I'm come. I come into the world that they which see not might see. Son, physically, you came in the world not seeing. But everybody else come in the world not seeing also. I come for the glory of God to be revealed. I'm taking you there physically first, and then I'm going to take you there spiritually. But I want you to understand this thing is deeper than just your physical body. Everybody is born blind. They don't understand the revelation of God. They can see the glory of God in the heavens. They don't know all things are to him, for him, and through him. They don't know it. This is why I come, so that God's glory can be made manifest. So now we have a situation where a person was born with an infirmity. Now we're going to look at a certain situation where a person gets sick and dies. But to God be the glory. John 11 and 1. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany of the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. I just want to ask you to think for a minute. Do you really feel that Lazarus is the only person in the world that died that was for the glory of God? Have you ever thought about it? Do you think that Lazarus was really the only person in the history of the world who died and it was for the glory of God? Or do you read the scriptures? Listen, I'm going to come right back to this, but I'm going to show you that Lazarus was not the only one in the woman coming back to Lazarus, because if we're going to give God the glory, we must understand that everything is about his glory, even that we don't like. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. I want you to see it. I want you to see how God operates. Who through faith subdued the kingdoms? Who through faith there were these are what they call a hall of fame. Most of the time they don't like, they might read this one, but they surely not going to want to get down to verse number 36. But I want you to see it in this light. They subdued kingdoms. They had to fight. Wrought righteousness. That means they had to do righteousness in the face of others who did not want righteousness done. I know what it says in the Kings and the Chronicles. I understand what it says in 2 Samuel. I know the fight that it takes to do righteousness in a world where the government doesn't want to do right and people don't. They obtain promises. Stop the mouths of lions. The only way they stopped the mouths of lions is that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Quench the violence of fire. Yes, because they were thrown in the fire to the glory of God. Escape the edge of the sword. The edge of the sword was chasing them. Out of weakness was made strong. Out of weakness to the glory of God was made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the alien. We love that. Women received their dead raised to life. That's what we want. It was to the glory of God that that person received the dead raised to life. Two women, but their children still went back and died. But let's talk about this. Others were tortured. That was to the glory of God. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You don't obtain a better resurrection until you die. They did not accept deliverance at the price of turning God's glory away from him. 36. Listen to it. Others had trials of cruel mockings. If it's to God be the glory and you got a trial of cruel mocking, look at this, and scourging, they were beat worse than people would beat a dog. Yea, moreover, bonds, they had their freedom taken away from them, and imprisonment. It's one thing to be shackled and bound, shackles on your neck, shackles on your arms, shackles on your feet, and then imprisoned too. But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. When you have a low view of God, you think that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Nobody can do anything to you, and that everything you do is going to come out right. You must have a very low view of Jesus. He was despised and rejected, a man acquainted with grief. They hid, as it were, their face from him, and they beat him. They spit on him. They called him a bastard. They hung him on a tree. Call him a devil. But to God be the glory, he raised him up. The Bible says he was obedient unto death, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus the Christ, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That's in hell. Things in heaven, earth, under the earth, and every knee shall bow, and of every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's to the glory of God the Father, and it didn't look like it should be that way. To God be the glory. That's our master. That's our shepherd. That's how he went. 37, they were sown asunder. To God be the glory. They were tempted and slain with the sword. They didn't get deliverance, but still to God be the glory. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. To God be the glory. Even the writer here said the world was wasn't worthy of them. They didn't walk around with a prosperity message. It says they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. The Bible says, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that without us they should not be made perfect or complete. Then it goes on to tell you to look to Jesus. I will submit to you, it's to God be the glory, that when you go through these things, you don't turn your back on God and you receive a good report, which is the same word, you receive good witness of God. Back here to John. So that when Jesus makes this statement, verse 4, John 11, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not a death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Do you ever think, it's for Lazarus? They had nothing to do with nobody else in the world. You got a low view of God. You got a low view of what the scripture says, if you believe that kind of mess. Well, the Bible shows that it wasn't unto death. And then Martha, when Jesus said he would raise him from the dead, well, he told him he'd see his brother again in the resurrection. She didn't believe it. Listen to what is said here in the 28th verse. Same chapter. And when she had so said, she sent away and called for Mary, her sister, secretly. The master calleth for thee. As soon as she heard, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but in the place where Martha and Mary met him. Verse 35, we realize that Jesus wept. He saw the Jews weeping, and he wept. Now listen to what the Bible says, the people says. Verse 36, then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those of us that have lost loved ones, and those of us that are going to die ourselves, and those of us that go through pain and suffering, he knows what we're going through, but it's still about his glory. And it shows that he had a compassion on the people, and the people realized that. And then they asked in verse 37, could he open the blinds? Could he have kept that man where he shouldn't have died? The answer is going to come. Verse 39, Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's another word to say, he stank. He stank by now. Boy, it had been 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should have seen the glory of God? Why do you think Job can say, naked came out of the world, naked shall I return to the Lord, give the Lord, take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Why do you think Paul could be in prison and still talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory? Why do you think John could be on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and still write with these lofty words, and they overcame him by the blood of man and the word of their testimony and love not their life unto death? Why do you think it is Jesus first, one of the first things he sent his disciples out, told him in Matthew 10:28, fear not, man that can kill the body, and that's all that he can do. Listen to me, for the glory of God, when somebody die, it affects us, it hurts us, but that person, if they're with God, listen to me, if they're with God, they have not been destroyed, they have not been decimated, they have actually been elevated to the place of being in the presence of God. And if you understand that it's to God's glory that at this time they're in his presence, then you won't be as angry. Yes, you can feel your loss, that's real. You'll understand. God be the glory. Sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes we don't believe what we say. But I want you to understand that sometimes we also suffer because we don't realize that God has already given us glory, and that glory should be reflected back to him. It's his glory. And we take the knowledge that we have of him sometimes, and we make it our glory that he owes us. What does the Bible say in 2 Peter? 2 Peter, when Peter talks about what God has done. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Let me look at my time. I don't want to take all night. Oh, Tim, you got a good 8 minutes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you Through what? The knowledge of God. What knowledge of God? The heaven, the earth, the firmament. That's one you learn, but you're talking about the revealed word of God and the experiences that you give that you weigh against the word of God to be able to understand and use for your worldview the presuppositions or the keys of looking through the glass. This is what God said would happen. This is how God said it will happen. To him be the glory. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Or the Torah, the instruction of the Lord is perfect. Complete, converting the soul. Go back and read it when you get time. 19 Psalm and verse 7. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen closely. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. That's what we live. And godliness, which we are ascribing to. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to his glory. Jesus wanted us to share in the glory that he had with the Father. He wants us to have the vision of what it is now. He wants to be in us the hope of glory. He wants us to understand that all things are for, through, and to him. And whether we fully understand it or grasp it or not. He's led the way. That's why Hebrews 12 and 1 says, we have so many witnesses, and I just read a few. We are compassed and circled by so many great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the manifest glory to God. See, the word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, John 1 and 14. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher or the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. And where is he now? Seated on the right hand of the Father in power, in glory, and majesty. Listen to what Peter says, an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. Peter says to those people, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. I was thinking about when I was looking at this, not just the scripture, but I was looking at how my wife had been treated. And I looked at the mistreatment. Then I start thinking about the mistreatment of other people. Then I look at the mistreatment that has come my way. And I look at the mistreatment that some of you all have told me about on your job. And when that mistreatment comes, even if it's from family members, because we give God the glory instead of giving them the glory, which means we be giving ourselves the glory. When you give somebody else the glory, that's so that they will glorify and accept you. But when we give God the glory, often you'll be talked about, you'll be slandered, you'll be evil spoken of. But the Bible says that the glory of God rests on you. Why? Because you're giving God the glory. Giving God the glory is not an easy thing unless your mindset know all things are for his glory. Other than that, God's got to give you the glory by doing what you say. And that's a very low view of God. Like somebody tell me, I wouldn't put my child out of my house. I would not reject my child. I wouldn't do that. I would have unconditional love for my child. You're not God. You got a low view of yourself trying to compare what you do to God. You still stink when you use the bathroom. Talking like you got the sweet smelling savor of your life to compare God to. Are you crazy? He put Adam out. He put the children of Israel out in 722 BC. He put them out again about 605 BC. Well, if it wasn't 605, 586, three deportations, he put them out. And those that don't overcome, he'll blot their name out of the book of life. Unconditional love, that's not what Jesus teaches. When the last time you read your Bible? When they like to come up with an asinine statement like that, that's what you're talking. That's to you be the glory. When it's to God be the glory, it's whatever he says, how he says it, when he says it. Jesus said explicitly, John 15 and 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's an if-then situation. It's called modus ponens. It's if you do this, then this will happen. Say it softly, Tim. If you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's all about bringing glory to God, not about bringing glory to you. You're not that important. Believe that, okay? This is what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Talking again about suffering, mistreatment, and the other things that we go through. Because sometimes suffering is physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's also being in prison. But listen to what Peter said. A man that had been in prison, a man that was scheduled to be executed to be killed before, and a man that had been beaten. Yes, all three. Peter says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. Now, whether you share in it or not, eternally is going to depend on whether you stay with God, but you've been called to it. Read it again, Tim. But the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice, he says, after you suffered. Do you want to suffer? Do you want to give him the glory? Do you want to be made perfect or complete? Do you want to be established, strengthened, and settled? Or do you still want God to jump when you say jump? Low view of God. But dismiss this scripture as if someone doesn't know what they're talking about. And that's a sad thing. Now, again, when Jesus told Martha, said, I'm for some reason, I'm looking back at John 11 and 40, where Jesus said unto her, said I not to thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The only way you're going to see the glory of God and let your mouth give God the glory, you're going to have to see things through the prism, PRISM, of God's word. If you don't see it through the prism of God's word, there's no way to do it. It's not. But look at our example. Hebrews 2 and 10. Listen when they talk about Jesus. Listen to it. It says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's what he said. The world hates God. We're in the image of God. And when his glory is upon us, they attack us because they want to attack God. When we're sick, when we lose loved ones, we're in a fallen world. And the fallen world and the problems of evil hit the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't stick. Because he always had his eyes on the glory of God. He said, in John 17, I pray for the glory that I had with you before the world was. Can we begin to see the glory of God through the revealed word of God? It will affect how things affect us. If we won't be impervious, but we'll see. Another man that was being killed for the power of God, brief Stephen. They were stoning him. And in the 55th verse of Acts chapter 7, where he had been lied on, drugged, and they didn't want to hear him, but God let him speak. And the Bible says in Acts 7:55, talking about Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And those of you that know the rest of this, he was stoned, he was being killed, he was being banged and hurt, but because he was looking at the glory of God, he wasn't saying, this is not fair, this is not right, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I can preach, I can teach, I was selected as one of the seven to be deacons, but God, all things are for, through, and to him. And if this is what he wants me to go through, I'm going through it. I see Jesus. I see the glory of God. To God be the glory. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You may ask, why do we not know these things? Why is the modern church not really teaching or speaking about these kind of things often? Well, I'm going to give you one last set of scriptures and we're going to stop. Psalm 73 and 21. Listen to what the psalmist said. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of a man named Asaph. He said, thus, I'm in 73:21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me with thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. This is what he's seeing when he's seen the wicked, and it looks like they're not going through stuff, when it looks like they're not suffering. He said, I was grieved, but I was ignorant. I was ignorant. There was a problem, and the problem was with me. And then he says, whom have I but thee in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Is that what we think? Is he our portion? Or is the portion the leg that we lost? Or is the portion the job that we lost? Or is the portion our loved one that we lost? Or is the portion that we get what we want when we want it, when we name it, when we claim it, and we walk around a building seven times like somebody did in the church, had us try to walk around a building, and I refuse to do it? Who is your portion? This is why in this position that we're in, because most of the time we as a church or the people of God, we are ignorant of what God has said and what God has taught. And I was going to let that be the last, but I really need to give you Psalm 78. You got to hear it. You got to hear this Psalm 78, because sometimes your churches may never teach you. They may never teach your children. But you have an obligation as a parent. You have an obligation as a brother, a sister, a grandmother, etc. Listen to Psalm 78 and 1. Listen to this and write it in your heart. Write it on a paper if you have to. Give ear. This is very important. This is another one of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and the wonderful works that he has done. Have we been taught from our fathers? Have we been taught from our families? Do we teach our families the wonderful works that God has done? If you start thinking about your fathers only being your daddy, your mama, and your granddaddy, do you forget what Hebrews 1 says? God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And you say that was to the Hebrews, Tim. That was not to us. Well, you might be a Hebrew and don't know it, but that doesn't matter. Have you forgot Galatians chapter 4? Have you forgotten Galatians chapter 3 that Abraham had two sets of sons? He had one by the flesh. He had one by the spirit. The one that was in Jerusalem at that time, they were in bondage, but the one that was from above was from Mount Zion, from the New Jerusalem. Those are the children of Abraham. And if Abraham is your father, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise the Bible says. So therefore, when we start talking about the work that God has done for our fathers, look at the father of the faithful. Look at those that have followed the father of the faithful. Have we heard? Have we been teach our children? Or did we let them learn about Barney? Did we let them learn about Mission Impossible, Mannix? Did we let them learn about, what do you call that thing, Scandal, and all these other things? We, verse 4, we will not hide from their children, showing to the generation to come. When you teach your children, you are showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. In other words, glorifying God in strength. Listen, in wonderful works that he have done, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. How much more us that have the Bible? We will never be able to see our children, or we'll have a high view of God, if we don't begin to understand what it was and what God has done to show his glory throughout man's suffering, throughout death, victory, what we see as victory, and throughout what we see as failure, when it is victory because we are faithful. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Let me tell you something. I got to digress, and I know that I've gone just about 3 minutes longer than I want. Oh, actually five, but you've got to hear this. You've got to hear this. Many people that came across the transatlantic trades, they were not African and were Hebrews. But I want you to understand one other thing. Irrespective of whether you believe that or not, do you understand when a society and a government systematically wipes away your background, your heritage, who your parents were, what religion they had, what language they had, and everything that they had, and you find out that many of them were using Hebrew words over here, they wiped away from you your God. And when you start learning about your God, and you decide not to teach your children about your God, and you depend on a preacher, you depend on a pastor, you depend on a culture, you have gone away from the very thing that God gave families to ensure that their children would be an inheritance and a legacy to bring forth glory to his everlasting name. Verse 8 again, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that have not set their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I would read the rest of this, but you can read it yourself. The point I wanted to bring out is the reason that we're in the situation that we're in. Those that are our first teachers, many times, they don't know. They don't care to learn what it means to give God the glory. And they don't teach it to their children. But whether we learn it or not, to God will be the glory. Because the Bible teaches that explicitly, that one day, in Revelation 20, the dead, small and great, will stand before God. The books will be opened. One is the book of life, and the dead will be judged according to the things written in the book. And whosoever name is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophets are. This will be the second death. To God be the glory, when the last enemy is defeated, even death. But those that walk with him, they will be with him forever. To God be the glory, no matter what our situation is, no matter whether we messed up or not, to God be the glory. But let's make it our business that Christ is in us the hope of glory, and that we're giving God the glory due his name. So no matter what we do, we can say like Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You'll have to have the mindset that everything is for, through, and to him to do so. Father, bless your blessed name. Bless your word. Bless the wisdom that you've shown us through your word. Teach us to believe your word. No matter what we see, Because no matter what we see that has come on this world or that has come to us, it does not surpass what your son went through. We have a great cloud of witnesses. And no doubt some of us may have to be witnesses for the generation that's under us and that one which is to come. Evermore keep us to realize that the chief end of man is to glorify you and to enjoy you and your ways fully. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.